Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 today. Luke chapter 1. I believe this is what the Lord's laid on my heart. Try not to be too long-winded. I read a story about a preacher who went to was a preacher's conference, and they were all gathered in there. In this particular conference, all the preachers were seated in the choir loft behind the preachers, and they had strict time limits. Each preacher was supposed to preach for 20 minutes. And one preacher got up and began to take his liberty, and he preached for 20 minutes, and he just kept on going. Preached for 40 minutes, and he didn't show any signs of stopping. He preached for an hour, still going strong, and he got to an hour and 20 minutes. Finally, somebody in the front row picked up a hymnal and threw it at him. Well, he was pretty light on his feet, and he ducked when the hymnal hit one of the other preachers that was sitting in the front row of the choir, the area there. And as he was going down, they heard him say, "Hit me again, I can still hear him." Anyway, Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 26. If you wouldn't mind, and if you're able, would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word? And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Father, we come to thee again, just asking you to take thy word, Lord, that we have read this morning, that you would do something with it that I cannot. And Lord, and speak to hearts. And change us, God. May we walk out of here saying, "We've heard from you and not from me." We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've found out in my time on earth that people love big announcements. People love big announcements. The news media understands this really well. They understand this really well, as well as anybody. And they'll pump up this breaking news, you know, just to get a reaction, and these upcoming releases just to get bigger ratings. Even social media has kind of fueled this craze, I think, in a sense. We have some attention-seeking individuals that will live stream themselves making announcements. You know, sometimes people get on there and announce what they've eaten for breakfast, maybe. And some people announce what they bought at the store. Some of you will be able to relate to this. Some people get on there and announce the latest deer they shot or the fish they've caught, you know. People like to make announcements. And throughout the course of time, I was thinking about this over this week. There's been certain announcements and public statements that have left an indelible mark upon the canvas of history. If we go all the way back to the year 1215, King John of England agreed to the Magna Carta, which was the first agreement of its kind, where he bound himself to the laws of his country, agreeing not just to be a dictator living by the whims of himself, but he agreed to hold himself. And that was a big announcement for the people of England. And then, of course, in 1517, Martin Luther, he nailed the 95 Theses to the castle church door at Wittenberg, which sparked the Reformation in Europe. It was a big announcement, big proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 and ultimately the 13th Amendment were big, big announcements, ending slavery in the United States. Big announcements. More recently, the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Some of us were alive then. Some of us remember that. I don't remember it, but I was alive. Some of us remember that. What a great and historic announcement. I was doing just some reading about that this week, and what a powerful time as thousands of families were reunited after years of separation. Incredible, powerful announcements. But no announcement through the course of history was greater than the announcement that Gabriel brought to Mary that day. And it was the second message he's delivering to earth in a short time period here. It was a big year for him. Big year for Gabriel. He's big, making a lot of great announcements. The first, of course, was to Zacharias when he announced the birth of John the Baptist. And Zacharias, his faith was a little weak, and he'd been struck dumb. He couldn't speak for a while, if you'll remember that, just in the previous verses of this chapter. But Gabriel comes to Mary with this announcement, and he tells her the long-awaited Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. What a glorious message it was. And as Paul would later write in Philippians, the Word was becoming flesh. The Word was becoming flesh and was dwelling, coming to dwell among us to take away the sins of the world. You know, no doubt many Jewish girls, devout Jewish girls, had probably longed to be the bearer of this great honor. But yet God had chosen Mary from Nazareth. I just want to examine some, refresh us on some quick facts about Mary. You probably already know some of these, but let's just look at this. She was a Jewish. She was a descendant of David from the tribe of Judah. She was a virgin. She was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, a carpenter. This engagement was essentially as binding as marriage and could only be broken by divorce. In fact, tradition says that if the groom died before marriage, the girl would be called a widow. Scripture indicates also that they were poor. They weren't wealthy people. And since Jewish girls were married young, we believe that Mary was likely a teenager. So here, in this border town of Nazareth, up in the corner of the nation of Israel, we find Mary. And no doubt, I think she was a faithful young lady. She was carrying on her duties, whatever they might have been. Maybe she was there in her house daydreaming that day. Maybe she was thinking about a future life of marriage to Joseph and the children they would have. Maybe she spent that day in prayer. But you know, Scripture doesn't give us all of the details of what happened. What was going on, but suddenly she's visited with a divine announcement, a divine revelation. Now, let's be clear, Mary was a human, sinful person. She was not worthy of worship. She was not divine in any way. She needed redemption just like you and I from the Savior that she would carry. However, God did choose her to carry the Messiah, did choose her to carry the one that would redeem mankind. And she's a beautiful picture of grace and surrender to the will of God. I just want to draw three points from the Scripture this morning and draw some parallels. Number one, I want to notice Mary's concern in verse 29. It says that she was troubled at his saying. She was troubled at his saying. He comes in and Here comes the angel. He says, "Hail," or "Rejoice, thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, this was unusual, obviously. Not only is an angel visiting her, but it was obviously a male angel, at least according to what the scripture indicates here. And she probably is wondering, first off, why is an angel here talking to me? Why is an angel here? And why is he talking to me? You know, I wonder if she kind of thought maybe he was, if it had been me, I'd been like, "Are you lost?" For a couple years, I traveled full-time in gospel music. And we had a humorous occurrence happen one time. One of our members, we had a tour bus, and it was a great blessing and everything, and it was nice to have on those long trips. And the only bad part about it was it didn't have a shower in it. And so sometimes we would go, and most of the time we would stay in a hotel overnight, and sometimes we had friends on the road that would let us, you know, use their homes to shower and refresh it, and that was great. Well, this one particular trip, we had a situation like that where we had some friends on the road that were going to let us stop and use their shower. And well, the piano player of the group, he had never been to these folks' house before. And it was an overnight trip, and we traveled and parked in the neighborhood there, and he was asleep when we got there. And he slept in a little bit. Well, everybody else got up, went inside, took their showers, and had breakfast. And he woke up later than everybody else, and he was the only person left on the bus. Well, he got up and was ready to take a shower, grabbed his stuff, walked off the bus, down the sidewalk, and straight into the wrong house, where he met a very surprised Hispanic family seated around their breakfast table. And he looked at them, and they looked at him, and he said, "I apologize," and turned around and walked out. And, you know, I kind of wonder if Mary thought, you know, "Have you got the right house? You know, are you sure you didn't mean to get Mary over at house 255 across the street?" You know, I know that's kind of humorous and not really spiritual, but in Jewish culture, it was very unusual for a male to greet a female like this, to greet a woman like this. It was not normal. And so here he comes up, and he's not only greeting her, but he's lavishing praise on her. And Mary is causing her some concern. And then she begins to wonder about the meaning of his words. The scripture seems to indicate that he gave her some time to pause and think about this, because she's not only is she concerned about what he's saying, but she begins to think in her mind, what does he mean by this? Now, I'm not an angel, but I imagine if I were to walk up to a lady, Brother Billy, let alone one that I didn't know, and I begin to say these things to her, that she'd probably, number one, she'd probably laugh at me. Number two, she'd probably want to know what I wanted, you know. And I think that Mary is wondering to herself, what is Gabriel talking about? Matthew Henry says that if she would have been a proud or ambitious young woman, she would have been pleased at his saying. She would have been pleased. "Hey, about time somebody recognized my virtue. About time somebody noticed who I am. All of this hard work I've been keeping myself separated and dedicated to God." But she didn't. She was humbled. She was humbled. And you know, let's not get too spiritual about Mary's reaction. You know, none of us yet have been visited by an angel like this. So we don't know, none of us really know what we would have acted like. But she was humbled by this. And for a practical, listen to this. This is what Wiersbe said. For a practical grasp about what may have caused her thoughts. The people in Judah disdained the Jews that were in Galilee and claimed they were not kosher because of their contacts with the Gentiles there. They especially despised the people from Nazareth. You remember when Nathanael was talking to his brother Philip, when Philip came to tell him about Jesus and John, and he said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Anything, they despised people from Nazareth. And so it's not difficult to wonder that Mary questioned what Gabriel is doing there. And I love her tender spirit of humility and the fact that she thought so little of herself and why that she was troubled. And I believe, you know, that some of these reasons, some of this humility was one of the reasons that God chose Mary for this great honor, this humility that she had. Then look, notice this, that Gabriel then spoke some words of peace. He said, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God." God has favored you. The grace of God is upon you. Hey, listen, if an angel showed up and said those words to me, I believe I'd have a little bit of a glory spell. But he didn't stop there. Gabriel added to it with the most glorious revelation of all time in verse 31 through 33. He says, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. His name shall be Jesus," which means Jehovah is salvation. Matthew 1:21 says, bears it out. He says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." The Messiah was coming through Mary. Messiah was coming through Mary. You know, the message was personal to Mary. The announcement was personal to Mary. But Gabriel's words, the ultimate message, would end up being to whosoever will. Would end up being to whosoever will. So not only Mary's concern, look at Mary's questions in verse 34. Mary's questions. She said, "How shall this be, saying, I know not a man?" You know, among the many reasons that God chose Mary, I believe her faith was one of them. And here Gabriel's delivered this incredible news to Mary, and I believe that she's all in. It's easy to give a cursory look at this scripture and think, well, she's questioning how in the world this is going to happen. She's questioning how God's going to do this. Or she's questioning God's ability. But I believe that Mary's all in. I believe she's trusting him. She has a choice at this point to doubt or believe God. And Zacharias, as we discussed, he chose the former. But Mary... And he was struck dumb, but Mary was not a faithless type. But she does want to know how God's going to do it. She wants to know how God's going to do it. She says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She goes, Gabriel, I'm not married yet. I want you to know this. Just thought I'd point that out. And, you know, I kind of wondered over this a little bit, seeing the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7. The virgin shall conceive. Now, surely, maybe she wasn't fully aware of that. Maybe it didn't click with her. You know, I don't know. But I love what I feel like the scripture is implying here. I feel like Mary's question wasn't one of doubt, but it was of faith. She was on board no matter how God was going to do it. No matter what he was going to do. Faith like Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God there in Romans 4:20. She was saying, "God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what means you're going to do it or what means you're going to do it through, but I'm on board. I'm trusting you and I'm available." And then Gabriel goes on to declare God's sufficiency. He says, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you, and he will be called the Son of God." So Gabriel's announcing to her, he said, this is of the Lord. It's not a human work. This is a divine process. He's telling her, Mary, Joseph's not to be the father. This has nothing to do with Joseph. He said, this is going to be the Son of God. He's saying, you don't have to be concerned with the details, Mary. He said, God's got this. This is God's doing. This is not yours. And he goes, oh, and by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And everybody knows that she's not been able to have children. She's been called barren. She's been known that. And she's 6 months along. And that news about Elizabeth would have been significant to her, would have been significant to Mary. She was the wife of a priest. And Scripture says that she was called barren. She was known as being unable to have children. So that would have been significant news to Mary, her cousin. It was a miracle that God had accomplished this. So we have Gabriel, who has just announced to Mary that she is going to have something happen to her that has never happened before. It, no doubt, it amazed her. It was probably even beyond her human comprehension that this was going to happen. Then Gabriel reminds her, which I love this, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I think it's a good reminder to all of us. When the enemy says what God has promised isn't possible, you can remind him, with my God, nothing is impossible. So not only Mary's concern and Mary's questions, but finally, notice Mary's surrender. Verse 38. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary had very little concept of what lay before her. There was really no way that she could know all that was going to come. You know, Gabriel didn't give her any specific details of what lay ahead. She didn't know how Joseph would react to these news. He could divorce her. He could turn her in. Things could head south really fast. Gabriel didn't give her the explanation that she was supposed to give to her friends and family. Yeah, hey guys, I just got visited by this angel. And so I'm just going to get pregnant. It's going to be God, though. You know, it's not really, nothing funny happened. It's just going to be the Lord. Really. No, Gabriel didn't give her a great explanation how to explain this in human terms to people. No, he left her to trust in faith. You know, Mary could have acted like I have sometimes before. God, why did you put me in this situation? Lord, could you have just asked somebody else to do this? You know, I've acted like, I know y'all are more spiritual than I am. You've never acted like that, right? But I have. But no, that wasn't her response. She said, here I am. Here I am, the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid was the lowest kind of female servant. The lowest kind. In the Greek, that term literally means a female slave. But it wasn't degrading to her, Brother Billy. She put herself in that position. She termed herself that way. It was, for her, it was an expression of love to the Lord. It's a term of absolute humility. She said, be it to me according to thy word. Not according to my will, but according to yours, Lord. She didn't know the details. She hadn't read the fine print. She didn't know exactly how everything was going to work out. But she didn't need to, because she was surrendered completely. Because she surrendered, then she had peace in the midst of the trials that were going to come later. What was she surrendered to? The will of God. She was surrendered to the will of God no matter what happened. And don't misunderstand, there was nothing great and glorious about the life of Mary. No doubt it was filled with struggle. A few months after this announcement, giving birth among the cattle in a stall, because there was no room in an inn. I saw a meme recently talked about how Joseph forgot to make reservations, you know. Obviously, we know that had nothing to do with it, but I thought it was funny. But she didn't have a nice birthing suite. She got to give birth in the hay. Then a short time period after that, they were escaping to Egypt so that Herod wouldn't kill her baby. There wasn't anything grand and glorious about the mission that God called her to. But she was surrendered. I'm raising the Messiah. This is God's plan. Here's the takeaway I want you to take from this today. Mary was surrendered not because she knew all of the details of the plan, but because she trusted the designer. Mary was surrendered not because she knew all the details of the plan, but because she trusted the designer. There have been times in my life that I've wanted to see the whole picture. There's been circumstances where I asked God why he allowed things to happen the way he did. And I wondered how, God, you could allow things to happen this way. Or how long, God, will you allow this to go on? Or why am I in this situation? God, what's the answer to all of this? And more often than not, instead of giving me a specific answer, he's given me more of himself. Given me more of him. Because that's really what I needed. I didn't need a specific answer. I needed more of him. Are you willing to allow yourself to be surrendered to him today? So we all bow our heads and close our eyes. I know we're all face trials. I know 2020 has been one of challenge and difficulty. And as much as we'd like to think the future is still going to have challenge and difficulty. And our way to peace through that is to surrender to him. Maybe this morning you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life. You never let him in. This morning, that's the way to true peace. It's the only way to peace. It's to know him as your Savior. Believe on him in faith. So we give this invitation. I'd like to invite you to come. And I'd like to take the Bible and show you how you can know him as your Savior. If you need to pray this morning, the altar's open as well. Brother Andrew leads us in a hymn.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.